Search teams continue to look for survivors in eastern Alabama after those powerful tornadoes killed at least 23 people. In a news conference today, Lee County Coroner Bill Harris said the victims ranged from 6 to 93 years old.
Just keep those families in your prayers. There's one family in there, they're connected, and there are over 7 people this man lost in one family.
7 in one family. Well, our next guest says this tragedy highlights a unique vulnerability in the South. Victor Gensini is a tornado researcher at Northern Illinois University. And Victor, you were watching radar tracking of these tornadoes. What were you thinking as you watched?
Well, honestly, your stomach gets heavy and you know as a researcher what's happening at the surface.
Yeah. Well, and as you point out, storm prediction centers had outlooks 4 to 5 days in advance. Tornado watches were issued. People like you around the country were seeing this. What's the disconnect? Why did so many people die, in your opinion?
And I think it comes to the unique question of exposure and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. We have a big challenge in the southeastern United States as we have a lot of trees in the way. It makes seeing tornadoes very hard. We have another big problem, though, and that's we have a lot of mobile homes. And if you're in a mobile home, when a tornado strikes, you're very likely to be injured or perhaps even killed. My colleague here at Northern Illinois, Walker Ashley, and I have another colleague, Stephen Schrader at Villanova University, have looked a lot at mobile homes. And what we generally see is over half of all tornado fatalities occur in mobile homes, and yet they only account for roughly 7% or so of the United States housing stock. So we have this disparity where a lot of folks are getting injured or killed in mobile homes. And so we ought to start thinking of, you know, potential, whether it's legislation or some mandates, to require these mobile home parks to have safe shelters nearby so these people have access to safety. But that only really, I think, addresses one issue of the problem. The second issue is we're making really good forecasts, but are people actually getting the warning? And if they do get the warning, are they actually willing and able to take action? And that's another thing that, you know, if you think forecasting the weather is hard, forecasting human behavior is sometimes even harder.
Well, let's talk about that, because Ari Gerstmann, who's with the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, very bluntly said, maybe we need more funding for social science to actually figure out the psychology of people, because the messages are going out and some people complain. I don't want that interrupting my television show.
I couldn't agree more. We absolutely need more research on how people respond to our watches, our warnings, and even our severe weather outlooks. Again, the science is getting very, very good at predicting at least general locations of where severe weather is likely, but we still have this disconnect, as we saw a couple days ago. You know, people's lives in those regions, especially in Lee County, Alabama, will never be the same.
Well, and we're certainly not blaming the victims. We're trying to figure out a way to get that message across. So there's that. But we've also been hearing today the concern that, and it's not even tornado season yet. Some have mentioned that April that's coming up may be even worse. What do you say to that?
I am always very careful to use the two terms, tornado alley and tornado season, because I think when you use those terms, you lead people to believe that severe weather is only going to happen or is only likely to happen in a certain area of the country or at a certain time of the year. And as a researcher, I know that that's not true. Tornadoes happen in all 50 states and they can happen any time of the year. And while the southeastern United States doesn't have a focused tornado season, they have a very broad risk over the entire year. And that means you can never really let your guard down for these events. Yeah. And if you do, you become complacent to the hazard. And unfortunately, if you become complacent, you may become of the sort of mindset that, you know, these are not events that are going to happen to me and I shouldn't worry about it when they issue a watch or a warning. And unfortunately, it just takes one tornado to really, you know, produce what we saw a couple days ago.
Victor, we are hearing terrible stories out of Alabama. A parent holding a 6-year-old son who was just ripped from his arms because of the strength of the wind. Another man, they were hiding in the basement, and the dog got very quiet. So he went up to see, opened the door, and almost was vacuumed out with the force of these winds.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, until mobile homes in particular get more shelters, what should a person do if they find themselves suddenly there they are and the tornado's coming? Hit the floor, get under something? I mean, what can you do?
Well, you can't wait until the house is collapsing on you to try to think about what to do, you know. But if you're in a tornado warning and you do think that your property or your life is in jeopardy, you really need to get indoors, get to the lowest floor, and put as many walls between you and the tornado as possible. You know, I'm telling even people now to, in your emergency kit, put a bike helmet in there, because a lot of the injuries that we see are blunt force trauma to the head. And, you know, I think a bike helmet could actually go a long way in your emergency disaster kit when you're thinking about severe storms.
Done. Victor Gensini, tornado researcher at Northern Illinois University, in the sad, terrible aftermath of the tornado in Lee County. Victor, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.